All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. It sure is a blessing to see all of you who are able to make it here this evening for our midweek Bible study. Let's go ahead and continue to keep one another in prayer. One of our members here, Sister Eileen, was unable to make it. She texted Sister Katie that she's going through some infirmities, and so let's go ahead and keep her in prayer this evening. And also, let's continue to keep in prayer the rest of our church members that you don't see her through the midweek, that we do see on Sundays as they are part of the body. And with that said, our announcements for this week is, remember that tomorrow is our every other Thursday off. We will not be doing the Sunset Market Outreach. Friday night discipleship class will be here. This Saturday is the last Saturday of the month. We are going to be taking that Saturday off. We're going to be having a church cleanup day, so we're looking for volunteers. If you're able and willing, please join us. We're going to start in the morning time, possibly around 10 o'clock, and we will provide lunch for those who attend, for those who want to give a hand in helping us clean up our church. And so we already got someone who is going to so graciously provide for us carpet cleaners. Amen. And I'm in the process of getting all the chemicals we'll need. I'm just going to need some power drills and some Milwaukee's. Amen. To attach some attachments to get those pews as well. So I have my power drill, amen. We just need those cool attachments. And then, like I said, I wanted to invite also the ladies for any decor. Please see my wife. I know that last time Sister Kina did a great job with Eileen and just, you know, tidying up the place, making it look nice and quote-unquote pretty. So Maribel, if you'd like to help out too, please, any help would be awesome. Maybe we can get some help with covering the wires up here or any great ideas that we can do, but the majority of it is going to be focusing on the carpet, the pews. Those are like our primary, the chairs, just kind of soaping it out, cleaning it out, getting the dust off, and then, of course, we can do windows and just a little dusting, just a basic, you know, every so often cleaning of the church house. We want to take care of it, and then as soon as we're done, we'll call it a day, but just know I'll provide for you guys lunch. That should be a blessing, and then, God willing, we'll be here back Sunday for church. Don't forget church on the 6th of May. Brother Angel is going to be coming up from Imperial Beach with a brother to be a blessing and help us in our soul winning outreach and for great fellowship. So we're going to go door to door together. We're going to take him downtown as well. And it's going to be a blessing to see another brother, another church help me, if you will, as your pastor and giving us a hand with our church's ministries up here. And that's going to be a huge blessing. So let's go ahead and keep that in prayer. And then for what the Lord has for us in May, if you will, I want to plan a trip with our church on a Saturday to go up and help our friend in Corona, Brother Shannon Scott, Grace Baptist Church, with their evangelism, soul-winning outreach as well. As you guys know, it's good to build camaraderie. It's build a good relationships with a friend to your pastor. Not every independent Baptist church are friendly. Y'all already know that. And not everybody wants to work together, and that's all right. But for those who want to be a blessing to me, I want to be a blessing to them, and it takes all of us as a family to represent. So it'll be a blessing when we get those details. I'll let you guys know ahead of time, so that way you guys can try your best to plan either from work or, God willing, it's on a day off. But it'll be good to see you guys to participate in those, if you will. And then other than that, guys, we are here. We're glad to be here, and it's a blessing to see all of you that are here to make it for the midweek church service. All right, church, would you do me a favor? Let's go ahead and open up in our Bibles together to the book of Leviticus chapter 19. That's going to be found in your Old Testament. Tonight, I hope you brought your Bible, and I hope you're going to open up that Bible and read along. Let's try our best to put away the digital lightsabers, amen, because when that electricity dies out, all you got is that good old paperback. You say, brother, what if my electricity goes out? You got a candle, and you got a match, amen, so that's fine. That's how they did it back in those days, amen. So Leviticus chapter 19, towards the Old Testament tonight, is a topical message that I've titled, Thou Shalt Love Thy Neighbor as Thyself. Tonight's title is Thou Shalt Love Thy Neighbor as Thyself. This message was convicting while I was preparing it. I had a great fellowship with Brother Giovanni before we came to church about some things that the Lord so graciously ministered to my spirit through another brother in Christ. And I'm hoping to deliver to you what was delivered to me. I'm hoping to pour out to you what was poured out to me. And tonight, this was convicting while I was preparing it. So these notes are not going to be necessarily just for you. It's for me. And so I hope that you came here again to church with a heart's desire for Jesus. I hope you came here to love God, and I hope you came here to love your neighbor. and you love your friend and love your church members and to do your best for Christ for what he did for you. And so as we know, we're going to read the Bible. The Bible is the counsel of God. It is the thoughts of God. It is the directives of God, the precepts, the commandments of God. And it'll have an effect upon you whenever you believe it. Whenever you believe it. And so all the Bible is written for admonition, for us to learn. Leviticus 19, let's do that now as we seek it for some spiritual application. Starting here together in verse number 11, we're going to read Leviticus 19, 11 through 18, and then we're going to open up with a word of prayer. The word of God says here, Leviticus 19, 11, "You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God. I am the Lord. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." Let's pray. Abba, Father, I thank you once again for the word of God. As we open up tonight's hymns, the theme was love, that a Savior would love us while we were unlovable, that a Savior would seek us out while we were not sought out by friends and family members because of our sin against them. God, I thank you so much that there is a God in heaven who loves us, who desires a relationship with us, who gave his all on the cross at Calvary to prove to us your love. Tonight, God, I pray the Holy Ghost to please get a hold of our hearts, and that our hearts will return back to you to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we would fulfill the second greatest command you've given in this Holy Bible, that we would be able to love our neighbor as ourselves. Tonight, God, I pray the word will do the job. Remove me out of your way. Wherever I have an error in my human presentation, I pray the Holy Spirit will take the Holy Bible and give it to their hearts and deliver it into their spirits how they need to hear for application and personal conviction and personal growth. God, I thank you for these, my members here. Enlarge my heart for them. Increase my desire to be their friend, to pray for them daily, not to give up on them, God. Help me to help them. And I thank you, Father, for these opportunities of people's lives that you've entrusted Katie and I with to be a blessing to you, to help and serve. God, bless them. Bless them in the knowledge of Jesus. Bless them in their marriages. Bless them as they're, for those that are parents to their children and vice versa. We thank you. We intercede also on behalf of Sister Eileen. She's not feeling well. Would you please be with her as well? I pray, God, that you'd bring healing to her body so she can be able once again to serve you. And I thank you for those that are here this evening. We thank you for the rest of our church members as well. We pray for them. And Lord, we pray for their need that you meet them this evening and help them to continue to keep themselves and draw closer to you daily, God, until we meet again on Sunday, Lord willing. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. He said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." I want you to see these great precepts and commands that God gave the nation of Israel through Moses, the mediator, thousands of years ago. And in the back of your mind, for those of you who are familiar with your New Testament, I want you to think about the same for Christian application that the Holy Spirit gave to the apostles to help build our foundation and our relationship with Christ. I want you to see there once again, notice, don't steal. Where do you read that? Ephesians 4. Don't deal falsely, neither lie one to another. Where do you read that? Colossians 3, Ephesians 4. You shall not swear by my name falsely. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't use God's name in vain. Don't rob your neighbor. If you promise to pay him back. Don't hold that money until you go to bed. Don't curse nobody. Don't curse the deaf. Don't make fun of special education people, special need people. How about that? Verse number 15, don't show favoritism to nobody just because they're family or friends. Don't do unrighteousness in judgment. But now listen, going down to verse number 16, don't be a gossiper. Don't be a talebearer. Don't take people's secrets and give them to the world. Don't publish people's information that they entrust into you privately. Notice what he says there in verse number 16. I am the Lord. So at the end of each commandment, what does he tell them? I'm God. I gave you this commandment because I'm God. I don't want you to treat each other with disrespect because I'm God. I want you to love your neighbor as yourself because I'm God. I don't want you grudging against each other because I'm God. I don't want you treating each other with bitterness because I'm God. I don't want you to suffer your anger to go upon, to stay within you. Remember that, Ephesians chapter 5, don't let the sun go down upon your anger. That's very similar right there in verse number 17, 18. But now notice at the end there, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How can you love if your heart is filled with hate? And you cannot love if your heart is filled with hate. You cannot hate if your heart is filled with love. Look at verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Why? Because I'm God. So tonight I want us to focus on that theme this evening, if you will, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves because he's God. And if truly Jesus Christ was in our midst this evening, I believe a lot of our conduct and our character and our personality would shape up like that if we had a special visitation from the Creator himself. I'm pretty sure a lot of us would have dressed a little better. I'm pretty sure a lot of us would have not lied earlier on our day or perhaps treated people ill or maybe had some negative sinful thoughts against our church members or someone else around you in your life if you knew that Jesus was going to meet you tonight at 7 o'clock at Simple Faith Baptist. But friend, don't you know that he meets you? He might not physically be here bodily, but according to the Holy Bible, he's with us spiritually, inwardly. So as we read the remaining of our notes, I want you to do your best to agree with me tonight that we should obey the commands of God because he's God and we're not. Stick with me now. Leviticus 19, go to verse 34. The word of God says here, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. He told the nation of Israel, don't you treat the stranger any differently, because you too were a stranger. Why? I'm God. Later on in the New Testament, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read them for you. Jesus would rehearse the law, these two greatest commandments to those that he would encounter, or people who would attempt to question him. Matthew 19, 19, Matthew 22, 39. Others would give him a response when he would ask them a question. Mark 12, 31, Luke 10, 27. Do me a favor now. Turn your Bible with me to Romans chapter 13. New Testament, Romans chapter 13. Tonight's theme, friend, is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Romans chapter 13, read with me in verse number 9. Romans 13, verse number 9. Well, actually, let's read together verse 8. I just have my notes in unique orders, but let's read while we're here verse number 8 and verse number 9. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. You just read that in Leviticus 19. According to God, not only when he gave his law to Moses, but when he was manifest in the flesh in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, teaching the world, according to the Holy Ghost, who would later give this inspiration to the apostles for our admonition and learning, if we love one another, we fulfill the law. Look at verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the what? Fulfilling of the law. Why is love so important? Because where the law demands you and threatens you, if you don't do this, here's a curse, love compels you. Because you're willing to do it for the other person genuinely without something externally restraining you from doing, and if you don't do it, then there's a threat. According to verse number 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. If you and I have genuine love for our spouse, you don't have to worry about the law's demand and threats of adultery. If you and I love our neighbor, we're not going to rob from him or steal from him. We don't need the law to remind us of that. If you love your church and your church members, you're not going to necessarily have to be reminded all the time of what you ought to be doing as a faithful and godly church member, because love is going to be your guiding principle, not necessarily the letter of the law. This is very important. Turn with me now to Galatians chapter 5, and then we'll go to James 2. Galatians chapter 5, and then we'll go to James chapter 2. Sure. Yeah, you can if you'd like. Galatians 5, and then we'll go to James chapter 2. You can hold it wherever you'd like. You can hold your wife's hand right now if you want to, brother. That's good. Hold your hand to wherever you want. There you go. Galatians 5, verse number 14. It's good to see you turning them pages, brother. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then James chapter 2, to the right-hand side. Look with me now in verse number 8. James chapter 2, verse number 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, what does the Holy Ghost tell us? Ye do well. So what do we have? All the law fulfilled in one word, Galatians 5. James 2, if you fulfill the royal law. Why is love the fulfillment of the whole law, which the Holy Ghost identifies as the royal law above all the remaining laws that God has dispensed to man? Because against such there is no law. Galatians 5, you guys have already heard this fruit of the Spirit, I'll just read it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's gentleness, it's goodness, it's faith, it's meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We already read it earlier in Romans 13:8. The scripture says, to owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth hath fulfilled the law. I believe that the reason why this is the royal law above all laws is because it fulfills and establishes the desired intent and purpose of your God for your fellow man. If he doesn't have to restrain you by his laws, then that's where the freedom, if you will, is initiated, because of your willingness to love someone with your heart's desire, not with anything externally constraining you to do so by a threat or a demand. If you don't do it, then here's what will happen. I believe that love is the greatest virtue that our God has dispensed to us and given to us to enjoy something that otherwise we wouldn't have, the completion of our own existence. According to the God of the Holy Scriptures, this royal law given both in the nation of Israel and the New Testament church reflects the heart of our Maker in his intended design for human fellowship to be successfully lived out amongst one another. Truly, this is the only means of finding true contentment and joy, and obeying the commands of our Maker, for in his laws we find true joy for our soul. And when the Holy Spirit pours forth into our spirit spiritual happiness, joy, rejoicing, it is given unto us to continue loving one another. Where love is, love does not dominate. Where law is, love does not dominate. Love is compelled by free will sincerity, whereas law is compelled by external force, regardless of your personal feelings. For this cause, we ought the more to rejoice in the new birth. For when we trusted in our Lord's gospel, he truly freed us from our human limitations and exercising this virtue out one with another. Because of his Holy Spirit inside of us, we are now able to wholly and fully live this out and actually feel his presence in us when we do so. I want you to notice time and again, when God dispensed his laws to Israel through Moses the mediator, he would often conclude with the following statement. He would say this: for I am the Lord. I am the Lord. It's mentioned 162 times in 164 verses in the Old Testament. He would remind Israel often of this truth because of what he did for them. He would say, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. He said that multiple times in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He reminds them of the reason for why he has given them his commands. Let's turn now back to Leviticus 20. And let's read together in verse number 24. Leviticus chapter 20 to the left-hand side of your Bible. And verse number 24. He reminds them of the reason for his commands he has given them. Here we're going to read it starting in verse number 24. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. What does he tell them? This is what I've done for you, Israel. I delivered you for me. I healed you for me. I separated you from all these other Gentile heathen who don't know who I am, from all of their unclean living, all of their wicked living, and I've given you these laws so that way you guys can reflect me to them. I'm holy. Here is what's going to help you to be holy. I've separated you and I've divided you because I want you to know me more. I'm commanding you to do these things because I delivered you from your bondage, is what he's telling them. I delivered you from Egypt. I set you free from your oppressors and preserved you all this time. But what about us New Testament Christians? We might not have encountered Moses at our conversion, leading us through the Red Sea into a physical promised land. However, we have someone better who delivered us from our spiritual oppressor, the devil, and his worldly taskmasters. And who is that? That's Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:4 says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. 2 Corinthians 5:15 through 17 states, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Christian, Jesus has given you the Holy Spirit, the very real presence of God sealed in our hearts right now unto the day of redemption. Brother and sister, the greatest power in the universe was given you that you might manifest the greatest virtue in the universe towards those around you, and that's love. Love reflects the very character of God, the very heart of God. Love is the attribute of God which moved him to send forth his Son into the world to die for our sins. It's God's love for his Son and the promise given him concerning his willful obedience to the will of the Father to become a man and die, which promise he gave him that he would not leave his soul in hell but raise him from the dead. It is this love from God's heart for the world that has been given us to know personally, to feel experientially, to enjoy inwardly, to live by that which can bring hope and restoration into our friendship one with another and restoration with those with whom we have had problems with. Love. Turn your Bible back now with me to Romans 13. With all these scriptures now that we're building tonight's message on. Why? For what reason? For what purpose? Because God delivered sinners from their past, from their bondage, from their spiritual oppressor, the devil, from that taskmaster called the power of sin, the law of sin working in our bodies unto death. We've been delivered from that power. The very God of heaven and earth now dwells within our heart, and he has given us now one of the greatest virtues that exists, and that's love. Romans 13, verse 10 again. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Let's turn now to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Famous verse that is quoted often by many a Christian, but often misquoted because of their application. Often misinterpreted by different church traditions that want to intermingle and amend the gospel and add certain things to the gospel for conduct and living versus just living it out as it is stated. And according to the words of your Savior here in John 13, 35, this is how people are going to know that you're a Christian. And you might find it surprising from what it says and what it doesn't say. So read with me now, John 13, 35. Your Savior says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." Well, by what? Go back one verse to 34. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." That's what Israel didn't have. They didn't have that before the Word was made flesh. They did not have God on the earth demonstrating before them what that love looks like for them personally and individually. Jesus, once he was manifest in the flesh, he demonstrated it before people personally and physically, and now that's a new commandment. Before, what did we have? You love your neighbor as yourself. There are limitations in that love because I have nothing to go off of but my own experience and my own personality and my own wisdom from what I've gained. But now I have someone else as the standard. I have someone else as the rule. His name is Jesus. And he says, I want you to love your Christian friend, your Christian church member, as I have loved you. Now that standard is way above. I no longer have an excuse of what I can and cannot do for you, brother, because Christ was made flesh. He is the epitome of love in action. Let's read that again now, verse number 34. "That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." So now with that mindset, verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." So amongst his believers, amongst his disciples, what did he set before them? His personal love for them individually. And then that demonstrated by his action towards them individually. And then he told Peter and James and John, I want you now to do that for each other and one another. That's how you're going to be my disciples. And then he takes it one step further. You know how everyone else is going to know who I am? Is by how you love one another. You know how the world is going to know who I am? By how you love one another. That's what he says. Look at verse 35. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have," what? "Love one to another." Now I'm going to reread this verse carefully as a Bible believer, and then I'm going to read it to you as a traditional Christian with whatever denominational traditions that Christians want to throw in there nowadays. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye love, that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." But here's how so many brethren want to read it today. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye believe the King James Bible." That's not what Jesus said. "If ye wear suits and ties," that's not what Jesus said. "If ye wear modest apparel," that's not what Jesus said. "If ye attend a fundamental Baptist church where no charismatics are out there doing their hoopla heepla," that's not what Jesus said. "If you don't listen to contemporary Christian music," but that's not what he said. "If you don't eat certain foods," "if you don't vote," "if you fill in the blank." They want to add to what they interpret how the world will identify them versus him. What did your Savior said one more time, church, in verse 35? "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have," what? "Love one to another." I have a question for you tonight. Who knows Jesus through you today? Can they identify him by your love? Or do they have a misrepresented image because of your faults and your misconduct of this putting into application? In other words, when they see you complaining and murmuring all the time, perhaps either in our marriage circumstances, in the workplace circumstance, or whatever the case might be, that's the Christ that you're presenting to the world. And when your unbeliever family or friends are just simply observing you, that's not presenting to them Jesus. It's presenting to them a different picture of Christ, because love is not necessarily the forefront. Turn your Bible with me now to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to take it a step further. We have a new commandment that our God gave us. He commanded his followers and his disciples to love one another as he personally loves you, the individual, right now. And now that's why we have no excuse. Because before, I can love you as myself. I'm limited because of my human frailties and infirmities. But now, since I put my faith in a man who is not me, and yet he's still able to love you when you mistreat me and I mistreat you, whoo, the standard just went higher. You see, people say that the law is over here and grace is over here. And matter of fact, grace is supreme and superior to the law. Because I can find the letter of the law and say, I can stop here. And that's what the Pharisees would often do. But grace, it exposes the real you on the inside and brings you out. And that's why we have no excuse before God. Because you know you can treat somebody better. You know you can love your spouse better. You know you can be more faithful. Now, Ephesians 5, 21 through 30. The Bible says, starting here in Ephesians 5, 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Remember in the Old Testament, we were reading a little bit, Leviticus. He would give a command, I'm the Lord. He would give a command, I'm the Lord. He would give a command because I brought you out of Egypt to be mine. Remember that? New Testament, submit yourself one to another because he's God. Same principle, same God. Look with me now, verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Why? Because he's God. Verse number 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Now before husbands think a little bit with a little proud spirit and puffed up, expecting the wife to be at submission like a servant, I want you to reread that verse carefully one more time, husbands, with me. Christ is the head of the church. What does it say? He is the savior of the body. The savior of the body. He gave himself for our sins, did he not? Savior of the body. When you consider now you being the head of your wife, you have actually that much more of a spiritual accountability between you and Christ to be the savior of your wife. You say, how? By giving yourself for her, by loving her, by serving her, by helping her, caring for her. When they wonder and when they demonstrate emotional faults, you forbear her. You love her anyways. Why? Christ, savior of the body. Look with me now. Let's keep reading. Verse number 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, remember what it said earlier, submitting yourselves one to another? We are all in submission one to another. We are all in submission to Christ as our individual Lord and our Savior when we go home in the privacy of our walks outside of church, outside of our, if you will, my teaching and counsel for immediate discipleship and counseling. Look at, you and I right now are subject to the man Christ Jesus. I hope you are. So now, if the church is in subjection unto Christ as the Lord and Savior, look at what the Spirit of God tells you. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Wives, before you begin to tell me, Brother Carlos, you don't know my husband, but I know your Savior. And I know that your Savior gave himself for you to offer you eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. And where your husband has faults and sins and infirmities, which you can rightfully point out, your Savior never did. And he commands you to submit yourself to that husband in everything, because that is the command of love that he has given you to fulfill in that role that you now have. Look with me now, verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Two times, savior of the body. Gave himself for it. So before we think about the role of the husband in a puffed sense that I can just command my wife, she has to do this, she has to do that. You better think again, Christian husband. Christ gave himself for the church. Christ sacrificed himself for the church. And by that virtue, he compels the church to love me and do what I've commanded you to do. A new commandment I gave you, love one another as what? I have loved you. So husband, if you're not living it out, if you're not walking and practicing what you're preaching, you cannot expect your wife to follow you. You're not loving her so she can love you. You're not respecting her so she can respect you. So again, I don't mean to rabbit trail on practical conduct, but you have to understand it now like that. We're almost to the point. Look with me now, friend, in verse number 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Jesus loves the body. Does he not? He's the head of the church. He's the savior of the body. And here we have this analogy that the Spirit of God is giving us in simple terms. You ought to love your wife as your body. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now let's get into what we want to continue with. Look at what it says now towards the last half of verse number 28 and 29 concerning Christ and his care for every individual member of the church. What if we genuinely cared one for another, as Christ does for every member of his body? What if I really took care of you as if you were the only one I would ever have to enjoy as a friend in this life, versus treating you like a replacement? Or I could care less of you because of everything that's wrong about you and your faults and your shortcomings and my disagreements with you. What if I love you as Christ loves the church? Would I give up on you? No. The question is not if I would, but the question is when. Because I have to admit, and if you're honest with me, you will likewise be in agreement, that I'm a sinner. I too have the motions of sins working in me that are contrary to the will of God concerning love for the brethren. I'm not perfect all the time. I have faults. I have limitations. I have disagreements, and I'm contrary to the Spirit's will for my life. Let's ask a better question. Would Christ give up on you? No. Would he ever leave you or forsake you? Mm-mm. What if we treated each other like Christ treats you? Now, just for a second, let's talk as if it were just you and I for a moment. No one else knows you like yourself. What if everyone saw you for the real you tonight? What if everyone had a glimpse to peek into your heart to behold the imaginations of it? What if friends and church and family and God and your spouse saw the real you for who you are? Do you think that you would still be lovable by your spouse, by your family, by your friends, by your church and God if they really saw the real you? And yet, do you know who does not give up on you at the end of your day? You. You don't stop loving you. You don't stop caring for you. You say, how, brother? You fed yourself today. You bathed yourself today. You gave yourself food. You gave your body shelter. You didn't just sleep out there on the streets. You comforted yourself. You gave yourself provision for your temporal needs. Why do you do that? Because you love you, don't you? Now, can I ask you a question tonight, considering this truth? How many of you would not mind dying tonight? Anybody? Of course, I know what all of us understand that. As Christians, we know we're going to go to glory. But let's be honest. Let's be honest. You don't want to die before your time. You and I tried to prevent death from coming to us every single second of our day subconsciously without even really knowing it, because we love ourself. We don't want to harm ourself. we subconsciously are always, if you will, in the background thinking about how to avoid danger to come near us. We drive safe, we walk safe, we talk safe, we eat safe, we entertain certain habits within our life because we care about self, don't we? Now, brother and sister, can I remind you what God said? Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Tonight, my heart is enlarged towards you. Why? Because I have been spending time in reading our God's Bible, and I've been in prayer. And you know what he has been helping me with in return? Learning how to love like he loves. Learning how to forgive like he forgives. Learning how to forbear like he forbears. Learning how to suffer long with you like he suffers long with me. I learned something valuable this present Sunday night from Brother Shannon Scott. Again, I told you that church I visited in Corona, California, and here's what I learned. He told me that God puts people in our life. In this case, he was talking to me personally, so here's how he told me. Brother Carlos, God puts people in my life. This is what I've learned. Not for them to help me fulfill the will of God for my life, you know, like ministry and helping me to do things for God, but rather, God puts people in my life for me to help them fulfill the will of God for their life. You see, when I put on the mind of Christ daily, you are more important than me. When I retain the mind of Carlos, you know, the old man, I am more important than you. When I read the Bible daily, God's will becomes more important than mine. But when I choose not to read the Bible daily, my will is more important. Brother and sister, I believe that we can truly do all things through Christ, which strengthens us, Philippians 4:13. We can truly love each other as we love ourselves. We can help each other better. We can serve one another better. We can endure together more strongly than before. We can forbear each other, forgive. We can demonstrate charity and compassion and meekness because Christ does that for us individually. And since the Holy Spirit of God dwells in each and every single one of us, we can do it. What if we had to care for each other like our survival depended upon it? Would we love each other a little bit more? What if you and I and our friendship was the only friendship we would ever have on this earth until we die? Would we work better at it to maintain it? Church, what if we genuinely loved one another, cared one for another as the Bible commands us to? Would our lives truly benefit from this overall? I believe so. I believe that everything else in life that we find ourselves involved in will excel in peace if we can simply start excelling in this area tonight by loving one another as Christ loves us right now. If Jesus will not give up on me, neither should I give up on you. Amen? If Jesus will not leave me, neither should I leave you. If Christ will not forsake me, then neither should I forsake you. The question is, do you want to love as Christ loves you? You see, church, our society, our nation, our city could radically change overnight if Christians everywhere started to simply love one another. As the Bible said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. As we're coming to a close, do me a favor, turn your Bible with me to Galatians chapter 6. What are we talking about this evening? Once again, in love, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians chapter 6. Read with me, friend, in verse number 10. Galatians 6, verse number 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. What would our day look like if we started doing this sincerely from the heart? What would our week look like? What would our months ahead look like? What would our years ahead look like? If God wills it, how do you think our marriages can benefit more? How do you think our spouse would benefit more if we sought their good and not our own? How do you think our families would benefit more if we sought their good and not our own? For those of you who are parents, How do you think it will benefit your children if you sought their good, not your own, and vice versa for those of you who are children to your parents? How do you think your church would benefit more if the members sought to do good unto their fellow members for their benefit and not their own? Would there ever be a financial need? No, because we would seek to meet that need from the heart. Would there ever be a brother or sister destitute? No, because we would seek to meet that need from the heart. Would there be a lack of members serving in various needs within the ministries of their church? No, because we would seek to meet that need when love is the motivation. Brother and sister, is Christ our Lord? Is he the head of this church? The question that you have to ask yourself, is he the head of your life? Is he the Lord over your life? If so, then let's love like he loves. Let's serve like he served. Closing verses, Philippians chapter 2. What if we truly loved each other like Christ loves the church? If you know that you are eternally secure and forgiven, what stops you from forgiving somebody? If you know that God will never forsake you, what entertains you to forsake someone? It's difficult when you don't consider yourself in that realm, but it's easier when you do. Philippians 2:2. Holy Spirit says, actually, let's read from verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation, that's another word for comfort, in who? Christ. He's the only one that you're going to find it in. You will not find it in Brother Carlos, your pastor. You will not find it in a church denomination. You will not find it on a YouTube video or movie. You will not find it in your spouse. You will only and solely find that comfort you truly need deep down in the heart and your soul, in the bowels, in your Savior. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the what? Same love, being of one accord, of one mind. One accord, one mind. What if we truly cared for each other like Christ cares for you right now? Would you give up on that church member you were thinking about the other day? No, you wouldn't. Would you consider giving up on church? No, you wouldn't. Because now you're rethinking and you're restructuring everything now within your life from the lens of Christ in you. If Jesus gave his life for your sins to deliver you from this world and gave you the Holy Spirit to cause you to be born again and to give you all this power in you and the spiritual stuff and all that, and he's not going to take it away from you, what hinders us from loving one another? It's just the flesh. It's just old man nature. It's not Christ. So the Holy Spirit of God tells us through Philippians 2, we can have that same love. We can have that same comfort. Because we have the same Christ and we have the same Spirit, we can have the same mindset in judgment one toward another. The question is, are you going to let him be your Lord in that area? So as we come to a close, come back with me now to Ephesians 5, and I'll give you the last notes and we'll pray. Ephesians 5, we're going to come to a close. Read these verses now carefully after considering all that we spoke about this evening. Old Testament, New Testament, law, grace. God wants his people to love one another as themselves. When you can consider the person sitting next to you as you, you will definitely endeavor and fight and endure through whatever circumstance because that's you. The other person is you. In essence, it's a virtual reflection of how you want to take care of yourself. And since you want God to bless you and you want God to love you and you want God to pardon you and you want God to forgive you and you want God to use you, then that's what you're hoping that you can give to the other person. Because what did he say? Thy neighbor as thyself, did he not? So as you come to a close, Ephesians 5, one more time. Look at 28. So what men to love their wives as their own bodies? He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. Can I tell you something today? Jesus, he doesn't hate any single one of you. He loves you. He cares so much about every single one of you. He cares deeply about you. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he's jealous for you. And yet, as soon as you see a brother over here or a sister over there, and they come short of your standards because you're not putting on the mind of Christ, it's still you, the old man, no wonder why you give up on this Christian, you forbear that Christian, you entertain the thoughts of separating yourself over here, you stop wanting to come to church and do this, and you don't want to. But your Savior, he doesn't hate you. And even though you still have spots and blemishes and you're blameworthy, and God can see your heart like none of us can. Remember what I said earlier? If every single one of us had a glimpse to see the real you on the inside, do you think that we would still love you? We probably wouldn't, because your full real self would be manifest before all wickedness. And yet, you know what your Bible just said? Christ nourishes you. Christ cherishes you. Look at, he loves the church. He loves the body. So what's the new commandment? He taught us in John 13, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And then what did he say later in verse 35? By this shall all men know, that's the rest of the world out there, that ye are my disciples by the love ye have one toward another. So tonight, friend, I want to love you and I want to help you. I want to let Christ in me operate through me to nourish you, to cherish you, to care for you, to minister to you, to serve you, to meet your need the best I can. And according to God, that's how someone is going to know that he is my Lord and my Savior. And I hope that you likewise want to do the same, because that's how someone else is going to see the Lord and Savior in your life. And that's how this church is going to be built up. And that's how this church is going to be known to our city and to our family, because the Savior of the body, his love is demonstrated. His love is emanated. This is a safe place for people to find who? Christ. And if they can find Christ here, then they found a good thing. We don't want them to find me. We don't want them to find you. We want them to find him in us. Amen? So look at those last verses there. So ought men, verse 28, to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So if Christ is the epitome, if he's the head, if he's the example, then why are we trying to sever sometimes hands from the body, feet from the body, eyes from the body, ears from the body? Say, what are you talking about? When you want to sever yourself from loving one another, why do you try to chop up the body of Christ for which he died for and gave himself for? How can you entertain treating your spouse now in this regard, or your church member in that regard, or faithfulness to your church, or helping someone? And how can you entertain that now, knowing how much great love your Savior has to you right now? And he will never stop loving you. And you will never stop loving you. Isn't that amazing? So you've proven it to me. You love you, don't you? I love me. If I love me, Christ loves me, I can love you. I can help you. The question is, will you let me help you? And then the person sitting next to you, they can do the same. And then with our church members, they can do the same. Tonight, let us love each other as Christ loves us. Let us fulfill the law. Let us fulfill the royal law, as the scripture says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Why? Because he's God. But because that God came down in the flesh, demonstrated for us in action what that looks like to people who treated him good and people that treated him ill. So that way, the next time that church member comes to those doors, or your spouse, or your children, or Brother Carlos, you would want to love me because you love him. You would want to serve me because you love him. And then the next time that I see you, I call you, I would have so much joy in my heart to just hear your voice, to encourage you, to pray with you, to study with you, because I love him. So tonight, let's let him not only be the head of the church, but the head of our life. Let's let him be the Lord over our life, so we can truly and genuinely experience this love that he has for us. And let's continue to emulate that one toward another. And that's what's going to keep us going. And that's what's going to prove to the world there's a Savior here at this church. Amen. Let's pray. Abba, Father, I thank you so much for the scriptures we learned this evening. Very convicting for me, God, because I am guilty of not loving the church as you've commanded me to. I'm guilty of entertaining the flesh, of lies and doubts and murmurings and backbitings and disputings and gossips and tale-bearing. I am so guilty of not putting off the old Carlos that was crucified with Christ because I want to entertain me more than you. But tonight, God, you so graciously, humbly, meekly reminded me that you still love me. You still care about me. You still want to nourish me. You cherish me, God. And that love that you have for me convicts me, God, and brings me to tears because now I know that you still love them. You care for them. And no matter what they do, you still care for them. God, who am I to excuse me from loving them? Who are they to excuse me from them loving me? Lord Jesus, I thank you for tonight's study. I pray the Holy Spirit will take that word of God, seal it in our heart, so starting tonight, this church can be that much more in love with itself, that much more caring for each other, serving one another, encouraging one another, loving one another, cherishing one another, as if this was our only body part left, that we would take care of each other and be friends with each other in such an extreme amount of charity that we would not want to lose nothing, lose no one, but gain more people and love people and receive them as you received us. Thank you, God, for who you are. We need help in this area, Lord. And I pray that we would all now have the tender heart as a family to agree we need that help so that way you can prove within us that we can do it because you're in us. You did it. So, Lord, thank you for Felipe Maribel, Giovanni, Sister Joaquina. Lord, bless them. Encourage them. Bless their marriages. Fill them with your spirit. Fill them with love for their marriages. Increase desire for each other in their marriage, God. And then help that to be an example to someone else around them to see Christ in them. That's how the world's going to know you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, I love you. Hope you have a great rest of your night. Amen. May the Lord bless you.